Good evening, Wahoos and fellow ACC sports fans. This is Frank Maloney with my co-host Jim Hobgood and research analyst Michael Tusky. Good to be back on the air following a week away, Hobbo. And wow, what a nerve-wracking Wahoo overtime win over those pesky Idaho Vandals. As always, we're glad to take a closer look at the Wahoo athletic program. We will review Saturday's 21-20 win over Idaho and preview the bye week, if there is such a thing, the quarterback battle, the improving defense, and we will get sort of prepared on the upcoming Georgia Tech game. We're glad that you've joined us.
Well, welcome back. We missed you.
Good to be back here at the Death Delay Club.
You know, I mean, of course, we'd miss a migraine headache, too, but, I mean, you know.
Whoa!
Now, this is indeed Hobbo. Another great show here tonight. Our first guest and a good friend of ours, the former star running back at Virginia and color analyst for the Virginia Sports Radio Network, Frank Quayle, will be with us momentarily. He'll give us his impressions or evaluations of the team's progress as they finish their first segment of the season, 3-2, as they go into the bye week. Later tonight, we'll have Dr. Jody Smith join us again to give us an update on the injury report. And then we will do a little transition in the second half hour, none other than Terry Gates joining us in the studio. And we'll begin the lengthy process of talking hoops. It's going to be an exciting year for Virginia fans. As a basketball team, in my opinion, is going to be very, very good. But anyway, before we get to all of that, here's Michael Tusky to tell us and you how to follow the show.
Hey, everybody. We encourage call-ins. Just dial 345-0910. Who's Talking is also streaming live on sportsradio910.com and thesaber.com. All of our previous shows are archived on thesaber.com. We encourage you to go on to Facebook, just search for Who's Talking and become a fan. Your questions and comments are always welcome. Just call us at 345-0910.
Well, Frank, the football team coming off an important victory, and I'm up in Wisconsin visiting my ill mother, and I'm following the game just on the phone, sort of getting score updates. And it was strange because I finally saw the final score 21-20, and I even asked Michael. I said, "Why did they go for two in that situation?" But we'll maybe discuss that later on. But anyway, that. A critical game. They had to absolutely have that one. May have been an ugly W, but there's only one thing worse than an ugly W, and that's an ugly L.
Absolutely.
And that would have been an ugly L had it developed that way. We're going to be going to Frank Quayle here momentarily once we get Jesse back in studio to call him. Do you want to go ahead and introduce Frank now, or do you want to talk about something else?
Well, let's see here. It looks like he's on the line now.
All right. Well, let's go ahead and maybe let me go ahead and introduce him. A man that really needs no introduction, but Frank's in his 29th season as the analyst for the Virginia Radio Network. He was a star running back at Virginia. His number 24 jersey has been retired by UVA. I think it's one of six jerseys or numbers that have been retired. He was drafted and played for the Denver Broncos in the NFL before coming back to Charlottesville, and has been active in the real estate industry and market in Charlottesville for a long, long time. So hopefully we'll try to hook up with Frank here momentarily. But while we're waiting, your impressions of the game on Saturday?
Well, clearly Virginia started out very strongly. They had a great first quarter, took a nice lead, and then the quarterback rotation game kicked in, and if there was ever a time just to leave it as is, it would have been probably a good thing to have left Rocco in. He was clearly playing beautiful football, and I know they so desperately want to get reps for David Watford, but you know, when you're building a lead and putting the other team away, maybe that's a good time to leave the hot hand in the game and let him do his thing. But other than that, other impressions, special teams need a lot of work. There was a punt block. There was a field goal block. There was a field goal missed. There was a non-field goal attempt at the end of the first half. And, in fact, one punt should have been fielded, but unfortunately hit the ground and rolled about 25, 30 yards, which became like the longest rolling punt I've seen in Scott Stadium in a long time.
Well, it was the punt block at the end of the game that allowed Idaho to tie the game.
Should didn't understand the formation. Virginia was in that wide splits formation, and when you're down there close to the goal line, that makes no sense to me. I'd have to listen to an NFL expert explain to me why you would want to provide alleyways for the defense to race in and charge that wall. I just
Well, Jimmy Howell, you know, he's a good punter, but he is not as quick getting the kick off sometimes. That's always
that's something
been
we've talked about.
A bit of concern of mine that he takes a little while to get it out of there, so you do worry about a blocked punt situation. We're still trying to catch up with Frank Quill here, which hopefully we'll do here momentarily. But
one thing I will say, Hobbo and Virginia fans, the Virginia run defense has gotten better every game this year, I think. They're shutting down the obvious rundowns. They're reacting better when the other team tries some deception. And on big plays, particularly as teams advance the ball down the field with some pass plays, Virginia gets real tough and plays pretty good run defense as they get close to the goal line. So pretty pleased there.
I think we got Frank on the line. Frank, are you with us? Oh, now all of a sudden we lost him. Technological challenge here tonight from the phone standpoint. So we're gonna get him yet, so hang in there with us. But at any rate,
Other thoughts, it was a pretty day. The weather was, first time this year, it really felt like football weather. There was some crispness in the air. I liked the fan base in terms of who was there and how hard they cheered. I was a little disappointed.
What was the crowd?
40-some thousand. And okay. I was a little disappointed with some of the empty seats. Understand
downstairs?
It. I don't really understand it. Towards the 10-yard line I'm in.
Sometimes, the Virginia fans, bless their hearts, if the team is not really excelling and the competition or the opposition is not a big-name program, sometimes they opt not to show up. So it's disappointing from that standpoint.
All right.
I think we're ready. Frank, are you with us?
I am.
Oh, it's a miracle.
Well, we're glad you could join us for a few minutes tonight. I guess we're talking about the game, obviously, against Idaho, but maybe you could go ahead and give us your evaluation or assessment of the team 5 games into the season.
Yeah, I guess I can try. It's been a roller coaster ride. I felt real good about the team with their Wayne and Mary performance, but recognized they were playing the division beneath them. The Indiana game, somewhat disappointing, but you had to love the clutch drive they put together at the end to pull that game out. I came away from the UNC game feeling pretty good about the prospects of this year's UVA football team. I was surprised to see them able to run for over 200 yards when I think teams were averaging about 30 yards rushing a game against a very good Carolina defense. And I thought our offense looked reasonably good, and that our prospects for other ACC teams were it's not as daunting as perhaps it looks now. And then Southern Mississippi, they're a very good football team, and their quarterback I think is one of the premier quarterbacks in college football today. He started for 4 years, had over 9,000 yards, but I was disappointed with a lot of the aspects of the game. I thought our offensive line had the weakest performance they had had to date. The defense, both against the rush and pass, wasn't particularly good. And we had some big breakdowns. I guess I skipped over.
Mm-hmm.
Got the Indiana game. So then last week's Idaho game, it was very disappointing in so many ways. The first two opportunities with the football, Virginia scores 14 points. It looks like it's going to turn out to be the game most people were predicting. And then from that point on, offense couldn't do anything. Defense was mediocre. The special teams were poor. And Virginia just was very, very fortunate to come away from that game with a win.
Frank, this is Frank.
Hey, Frank.
How are you? Question. Much has been made of the quarterback rotation and the scheduled insertion of David Watford, particularly the last couple of games. I'm just wondering what your thoughts are. You've seen a lot of football and you played a lot of football. What do you think?
Well, you know, I thought the two times that David Watford would get his opportunity, one time it was with the ball about the six-yard line, and then the time at the inside the one-yard line. To me, that was just crazy to put a youngster out there. That and I think the reasoning was that, you know, we had a script, we're going to stick to it, but it didn't make any sense to me. It wasn't fair to the Watford youngster. How's he going to show what he can do in that situation? But I don't think it was fair for the football team. They've got a quarterback in Michael Rocco who's been their leader, the guy out there, and he should go in and take over in those challenging situations. So it's been the quarterback situation. On hindsight, I think it's easy to make the coaches look bad with their decisions. The last two games, Virginia's gotten off to very good starts. Rocco has led them down the field, put points on the board. Looks like he's in a rhythm. He's got some momentum, and they make a switch to David Watford. And, you know, it's everybody starting all over again. And, you know, Virginia didn't put any additional touchdowns until overtime on the board in last week's game after Michael Rocco had let them down on the first two drives. So that makes the coaches look bad. I understand their situation. It's a challenging situation. Rocco is, I think, doing a good job, but he's, you know, they'd love to think there's the potential for someone better who can not just manage the game, but make some big, big plays. And that would be David Watford. And you got to give him a chance for him to show that he can be that person.
Now, on that same theme, it seems to me that the coaching staff has done a great job of rotating players into the offensive and defensive lines to give everybody experience and keep people fresh. But by the same token, doesn't it really – It dramatically impacts the offensive rhythm, doesn't it, to do it with the quarterback?
Well, right. You know, the quarterback, I think, is just such a unique position. You know, the offensive line, you can shuffle those guys in there. Defensive line, you watch the pros, and I don't care how good the guys are, they're getting them. They run two series, and they take off a series. They run two series, they take off. They want them just fresh and as ready to go. So Virginia feeding in their young people with that strategy makes a lot of sense. But quarterback, you know, when you have that rhythm and you're making good things happen, I think you stick with it.
Frank, can you hang with us through the break? And we'll have a couple of more questions for you after these messages. We're visiting with UVA football analyst Frank Quayle. We'll be back after these messages with a little more with Mr. Quayle. Stay with us.
All right, we're back. This is Frank Maloney with Jim Hobgood, and this is Who's Talking. And guess what? Terry Gates just walked in the studio. Yeah, how lucky are we?
Terry Gates, speaking of analysts, but we still have Frank Quayle on the line. Frank, let me ask you about Georgia Tech. Frank, are you still there?
I am yep. Still here, yes.
Yeah, terrific. Georgia Tech, they're scoring a lot of points. I know Virginia has the off week to prepare since Georgia Tech runs an offense that's a little different than most. How do you see Virginia's defense matching up against that option offense?
Well, I think any defense going up against Georgia Tech is going to be challenged. It's a unique offense. You don't see it but once a year. It's almost a shame that Virginia will spend 2 weeks for this offense because after they play them, they won't go up against it again. But Georgia Tech is, I think, surprised everyone with how good they are so far this year. I think they're averaging more than 50 points a game, and you know, everyone's in shock that they've got a passing game, and that's an integral part of their offense. That has not been the last several years. While the offense was very successful, passing was very unusual for them to do. So I think they're going to be a real challenge, and Virginia's going to have to play way better than we've seen them play so far this year to compete with Georgia Tech.
Speaking of that, Frank, looking at the playmakers for Virginia, you know, Perry Jones, Richardson, Chris Byrd, Tim Smith, Darius Jennings, Dominique Terrell, and Coulter Phillips. Don't you think Virginia has enough weapons and a good enough offensive line to start putting up some real points as this season progresses?
You know, that's interesting. I think the offensive line is a strength of the team. I was disappointed in their performances against Southern Mississippi, but I think in the other contests they've been good. And there are these youngsters with great speed, and I'm sure that they're going to have wonderful careers. Are they going to have it right now? Are they going to produce? We haven't seen that happen, although it was fun to see the Terrell youngster do a great job on that touchdown pass in overtime last week. So, yeah, maybe that's going to come to pass. The quarterback is such a critical component there. And, I think the running backs are a strength for Virginia. Perry Jones is better than he was a year ago, and he was quite good a year ago. Kevin Parks is a wonderful addition, and the Richardson youngster. So I'm excited about their tools. Do I think they're ready to put 30 points on the board the next seven games against the ACC opponents? I'll probably be surprised if that happens.
Well, they may have to do it against Georgia Tech. But, Frank, we appreciate your joining us again tonight. Before we let you go, I think probably in the past we asked about your favorite moments as a player. We thought tonight we might ask you, do you have a favorite moment or two in the broadcast booth as you look back over those now 29 years?
Well, without question, the most entertaining game and the most meaningful game that I got to broadcast was the Florida State loss to Virginia in 1995. I thought that was one of the great college football games. And there were so many things going on there. No ACC school had ever been beaten Florida State in conference. They had been number one the week before their bye week. They had a bye week before Virginia. They dropped to number two for some reason, but that was the highest-ranked team Virginia had beaten. There are a lot of things that made that a very special night.
Frank, on the last play, when they handed the ball to Warrick Dunn and he went scooting up the middle, did you think that he'd gotten in, or did you think, no, it doesn't look like he made it, or what were your thoughts?
I think they maybe snapped the ball directly to him.
Yes.
Although it could have been a handoff. I'm unsure of that right now. But I thought, that's a great play. Virginia looking for a pass. They had everything spread out. And I couldn't tell what had happened, and it wasn't until the officials were making a signal that you realize that he had not gotten in. Now, I know it, for a lot of people it's been a controversial play, but if you look at it's one of the few plays that they've got photographed, and you clearly see the ball out of the Dunn's hands short of the goal line. So he was stopped, and it was a big moment.
Yeah,
I guess what was so remarkable, Virginia, if Florida State had scored on that last point, Virginia would have been the only team in college football history to have three games go to the final play and lose all three as time ran out.
Wow.
They had lost to Michigan,
yep,
Texas, and if they had lost to Florida State, they would have separated themselves and accomplished something no one else had ever done.
That's a good point, but yeah, you're right. I always say athletics is all about moments, and that was a special moment in Scott Stadium that evening that the people that were there will never forget it. But anyway, Frank, we appreciate your joining us again tonight, and wish you and the team the best of luck against Georgia Tech and throughout the balance of the season.
Thanks, Jim and Frank. Enjoy talking to you.
Thank you, Frank.
Absolutely. Frank Quayle, a radio analyst for the Cavaliers. We'll go to our bottom of the hour break. When we return, we got Dr. Jody Smith and, as Frank said, Terry Gates in studio with us tonight. Stay with us.